Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be back with you tonight. I appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. One quick thing that I wanted to mention. If you've looked at the weather right now, the forecast for Thursday is not the best forecast. I think we've got a 100% chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Now that afternoon and evening, that tapers off to about a 40% chance. You also know that we live in Tennessee, and so that will change five times between now and Thursday. But we will do like we have done in times past. If it is raining, then we will simply move inside. We'll set up in the classrooms down the main hallway here and give away candy from those classrooms, and we'll go that route. But hopefully the weather will be okay and we can be outside. That gives everyone more room to run around and act crazy and all that. So just wanted to remind you of the inclement weather plan. We'll still have it. We'll just, as I said, move it inside and we'll set up in the classrooms. That way we can hand out candy from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a passage that we noticed this morning in passing as we went through the sermon, but a passage that we said we wanted to notice in more detail tonight. And tonight we want to talk about overcoming temptation. This is a topic that we've looked at in the past. This is a topic that we will look at again in the future, because it's a topic that we need to be reminded of. As we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's important to note the context in which verse 13 is found. Now, Paul has been talking to the church at Corinth about their journey, the Israelites' journey from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land. And you know, that journey was not a journey without difficulties. It was a journey that had them murmuring, complaining. It was a journey that had setbacks. It was a journey that ultimately would be delayed as they would have to wander in the wilderness because of their unfaithfulness. And as he talks to them about those temptations that the children of Israel gave into, he's writing to the church at Corinth to admonish them, to encourage them not to give in to similar temptations. He wants them to understand the fact that you and I can resist temptation. You and I do not have to give in to the temptations that Satan throws in our path. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, speaks to that very fact. Paul tells them, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not allow or let you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." As we look at this, we understand that we're going to face temptations in this life. But God has not left us without instructions, without help, without the things that we need in order to endure those temptations, in order to overcome those temptations, in order to defeat those temptations. Four things that we want to keep in mind, that we want to notice tonight from this one passage that will help us when we are tempted. Number one, the first thing Paul wants us to remember is the fact that we need to realize it is common. We need to realize that it is common. Going back to our text in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Paul wants us to understand that the things that you and I face, the temptations that are thrown our way by Satan, y'all, it's not nothing new. Others have faced them. Others have overcome them. And if they have done so, we can as well. This morning we noted James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, also verse 13 talks about this, where James gives us basically the way temptation works. He gives us that process. And the temptation, the process of temptation, it's the same for me as it is for you. And it's the same for you as it is for me. There's no difference. It's common to all of us. It's the exact same process that each one of us face. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, you recall that John lets us know basically Satan's lures. The things that he's going to use to entice us, the things that he's going to use to tempt us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Friends, those are the three categories. It's been the same three categories since Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the same three categories to this very day. Oh, they may be dressed up a little bit different. In our day and age, they may have more of a technological flavor to them. But y'all, it's the same three things. Those things haven't changed. Those temptations are common to all mankind. Ecclesiastes 1:9, we read the fact that there is nothing new under the sun. Friends, we need to realize when we're tempted, what we're facing is the same thing that all face. In other words, we can't look at it and be like, well, you know, this temptation is special. This one's more difficult than what you face, that I'm facing right now. No, it's not. It's common to man. It's the same that everyone else faces. And the reason that's important, at least in my mindset, is I'm the type of person that if you can do it, I can too. And so if others have been able to resist that temptation, then you know what I know? I can resist it as well. If the great heroes of the faith could overcome some of those temptations, well, then I can too. As we think about overcoming temptation tonight, things that Paul wants us to know, to keep in mind, number one, he wants us to realize it's common. Number two, he wants us to remember that God is faithful. He wants us to remember that God is faithful. Back to our text. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. We see that same sentiment echoed throughout Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Moses says, God, He is the faithful God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1:18, God is faithful. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us that God cannot lie. Back to the context of chapter 10 where this verse is found, it's talking about that journey from Egypt to the promised land. If you've been in our Wednesday night class, not too long ago we wrapped up our study in the book of Exodus. Well, if you can't go to the book of Exodus and come away with the statement, God is faithful, then you didn't read the book of Exodus. Because throughout that book, throughout that journey that they take as he leads them, he was faithful while they were in Egypt. He was faithful as he led them out to Egypt. He was faithful at the mountain. He was faithful as they took them to the border of Canaan. God is faithful. He was faithful to the children of Israel, and brethren, he's faithful to us today. We can place our trust in that faithfulness. We can place our hope in that faithfulness. Our God is faithful. When we are tempted, even if we give in to that temptation and are unfaithful to Him, He is still faithful to us. Why is that important? Well, it should be encouraging. To know that even when I'm undergoing that temptation, God's right there. I can call upon Him. Like we talked about this morning, as we talked about how to avoid sin, and one of the things we talked about, prayer. That's how one way you can do it. God's faithful. He's listening. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, giving them what they need to overcome temptation, he wants them to realize that it's common. They weren't special. They weren't enduring something that others had never endured before. He wanted them to remember that God is faithful. And then number three, he wanted to realize that they were able. We need to register that we're able. Going back to our text, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Friends, this is important because we need to understand you and I can never turn to God, raise a defiant fist, and say, I just couldn't resist that temptation. That's not the case. Paul's very clear here. Our God's faithful. Because of His faithfulness, what's He not going to do? He's not going to let us be tempted beyond our ability. In other words, you and I have the ability to resist the temptation. You and I have the ability to say no. You and I have the ability to walk away. I have the ability to stay faithful to God. We can't turn to God and say, it's your fault, friends, it's ours. We have been created with the ability to choose. And if we can choose to be unfaithful, we can just as easily, brethren, choose to be faithful. I'm not saying that it's always the easiest choice. I can guarantee you this, though, it is the best choice. I don't know if you've ever read many of Aesop's fables, but there's one entitled The Scorpion and the Frog. As I said that, some of you smiled, so you've read this one. Scorpion and a frog met on the bank of a stream. The scorpion asked the frog to carry him across on its back. And the frog said to the scorpion, how do I know that you won't sting me? And the scorpion says, well, that's easy. If I do, you and I will both die. Well, the frog is satisfied with this statement, and they set out. The frog swimming across the stream, the scorpion on its back. But in midstream, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog feels the onset of the paralysis that comes with the scorpion sting. And as he starts to sink, knowing that both of them are going to drown, he has just enough time to ask one question, why? And the scorpion replied, because it's my nature. Scorpion didn't have a choice, did it? It's the scorpion's nature. It's why it was made. It was made to sting. The scorpion may not have had a choice, but brethren, we do. God didn't make us the same way He made the scorpion. He made us with free will. When you and I sin, it is because we choose to sin. Now, as we've said in times past, we don't like to think about it that way. But friends, that's the truth of the matter. When you and I give in to temptation, when you and I sin, that is a choice that we have made. We have chosen to give in to that temptation. We have chosen to be unfaithful. As I've said before, the day comes, the day of judgment, and we find ourselves lost for all eternity. Friends, it is not because God was unfaithful to us and sent us there. It's because we chose to be there. We need to remember that and register that we have the ability to resist temptation. That brings us to our fourth and final thing. Paul wants them to, first off, realize that it's common. That there's nothing that they're facing temptation-wise that others have not faced. He wants them to remember that God is faithful. To recognize that they're able to resist that temptation. And then finally, number four, he wants them to recognize the escape. Recognize the escape. Back to our text in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. A great example of this way of escape is found in Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, just to kind of paint the backdrop, we have, of course, we're dealing with the life of Joseph in Genesis 39. And in this chapter, we find Joseph in the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. You recall that Joseph had been sold into slavery. And over time, he finds himself now in Potiphar's house. And Joseph has risen to a place of prominence in Potiphar's house. In fact, the only one greater in all of the house than Joseph is Potiphar himself. And in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 7, we see, and after a time, his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. And the infamous words of Scooby-Doo, rot-row. We have a problem here, don't we? Here we have Joseph in a foreign land. He's in a foreign house. And now he has this man's wife wanting him. You know, it could have been very easy for Joseph at this time to just go along to get along. I mean, after all, Joseph was a slave. After all, Joseph was doing what he was told to do. Joseph could have made a lot of excuses, couldn't he? Joseph didn't do that. Joseph resisted that temptation. In verse 10, and then she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. We see this wasn't just a one-time occasion. She pursued Joseph day after day, the Bible says. And yet day after day, Joseph is spurning those advances. He's trying to remain faithful. But in verses 11 and 12, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. It's just her and him. I have no doubt that Joseph had purposefully tried to make sure that this exact scenario didn't happen. And I have no doubt on the flip side of that, that Potiphar's wife has done everything she could do to make sure this exact scenario did happen. So what's Joseph to do? Here's a temptation. But what did God say through Paul? He provided a way of escape, right? Notice the rest of the verse. She caught him by the garment in verse 12, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Y'all, sometimes the way of escape is simply that. It's a way of escape. You get out of the situation. You get away from the temptation. Here's the thing. The longer I linger in a temptation, the more likely I am to give in to that temptation and sin. Did you hear me, church? The longer I linger in a temptation, the more likely I am to give in to that temptation and sin. If you wanted to look at it in a graph, as time goes up, the likelihood of me giving in goes up. We don't want to linger in temptation. We need to get away from that. We need to find that escape hatch, and we need to take it. As we said, sometimes that's removing myself from the situation. Maybe I find myself out with friends and suddenly someone brings out alcohol. And I'm tempted to take a drink. What's the best thing for me to do in that situation? Leave. Remove myself from the temptation. I'm by myself, I'm on my computer, I'm on my phone, and I'm tempted to look at something that I shouldn't look at, like pornography. What's the best thing to do? Turn the phone off. Get up, remove yourself from the computer screen, take a walk. God has told me He will provide a way of escape. The problem that happens sometimes is I'm not looking for it. If God said with every temptation, isn't this what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? With every temptation, He's going to provide what? A way of escape. It's there. I have to look for it. And friends, if I look for it, I'll find it. And if I'll take it, I'll avoid giving in to that temptation. You know, it really should be no surprise to us that God has given us the tools that we need to overcome temptation. Because He's a God that always gives us what we need. As we've said in times past, our God has never been a God that leaves us, tells us, here's what I want you to do, and then leaves us unequipped or ill-equipped to accomplish that. He said, I want you to be faithful. I want you to overcome temptation. And then He's given us what we need in order to do it. Our God is a God that always tends to our needs. And that includes the cure to sin. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, He's given you what you need in order to have those sins forgiven. Believing in Jesus as the Son of God and turning from that sin, confessing that belief, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done that, but you've turned away from it. You've given in to the temptation. Friend, why not come back home? Back a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity during the kids' fall break to go with Micah's mom and stepdad to Florida for a week vacation. Loved my time there. It was a good break. You know what I liked about just as much? Coming home. Just something about home, isn't it? You need to come home tonight. God stands waiting. He stands willing. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you need to come, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.